Good morning. This is Pastor Brad Ingram from the Truth Baptist Church in West Salem. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the Old Testament book of Amos. The Old Testament book of Amos, you'll find this in your Bible in the section commonly referred to as the Minor Prophets. Now, again, there's nothing minor about their message. They're referred to as the Minor Prophets because of the size of their prophecy. The book of Amos, for instance, is relatively a small a book of prophecy when you compare it to the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and some of those major prophets. But nevertheless, you've realized by now, if you're a student of the Bible, that God can say a lot in a very few words. And this book of Amos is one of those instances in which God gives a powerful, stinking message to Israel in just a few verses. And this morning I want to bring a message from Amos chapter 3. While you're finding your place there, let me invite you, as I do every week, to come and be with us at Truth Baptist Church. We're located at 12457 North Elyria Road in West Salem. If you're coming from Ashland, you go north on 71 and get off at exit number 196, the West Salem exit. Make a left off the exit, and our church will be on your right about a quarter of a mile. We have Sunday school at 9:30. Our Sunday morning worship is at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and then Wednesday evening at 7. Also, during these winter weeks, every Monday evening at 7, I'm teaching a course on Baptist history. We're tracing our Baptist forefathers from the time of Christ all the way down to the present day. It's a very interesting study. Whether you're a Baptist or whether you're not, I believe you'll find this study interesting and engaging, and there's no cost for these lectures. It's every Monday evening at Truth Baptist Church at 7 o'clock. Now, if you need more information, we have a website, www.tbcwestsalem.com. That's tbcwestsalem.com. Now, if you found your place here in the book of Amos, we'll begin reading in chapter 3. I'm going to read the first three verses to you, then we'll pray, and then we'll have the Bible lesson for this morning. Amos chapter 3, verse number 1. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? Now that's Amos chapter 3, the first three verses. God is indicting the nation of Israel because of their sin, because of their transgression of the law, because of their idolatry. The thing that God warned them about in the wilderness had come to pass. God told them that when you come into a land, a good land, and you begin to reap the benefits of the land of milk and honey, be careful. Be very careful that you not go after strange gods, that you not allow the inhabitants of the land to convert you from following after the way of the true God and serving the false gods, such as Baal and Ashtaroth and Dagon, some of these false gods that the people of Israel were to stay away from, have no communion with whatsoever. But nevertheless, in Amos chapter 3, we find the people of God who had been so blessed, who had been given such great privilege and great responsibility, they had now turned their backs on the Lord, and he was giving them this stinging message through Amos the prophet. Now, just a word about Amos, as far as the man's concerned. He was a working man. He was not part of the elite. He was not descendants of ministers or prophets. He was just a common man, a working man, who God called from his labor to deliver a message, to deliver a prophecy to the northern kingdom of Israel. When Amos gives his message here in chapter 3, Israel is at her zenith of power. She has wealth. She has notoriety. She has safe and secure borders. But yet, her heart is corrupt. And that's what the church today must watch for. We may have nice buildings. We may be well financed in our ministries. We may have everything just right outwardly, but the Lord is looking upon the condition of our heart. Such is the case here with Israel. Everything outwardly was going just the way you would expect it in the kingdom of this sort. but their heart was rotten. It was hardened against the Lord. And Amos here comes and gives this message. You have abused great privileges. Therefore, your judgment is coming. This morning, the theme of this Bible lesson simply will be this: abused privilege. I believe that we're a privileged people. I thank God that I'm an American. I realize that my American citizenship does not give me any more favor with God. I understand that very well. I understand that because I'm American, that does not give me any more access to God through prayer. It is not because of my nationality that I have the hope of eternal life. I understand that. But I also understand that God has blessed me and my family to cause us to be born in a land that we can freely exercise our faith in God, follow the dictates of our conscience and the dictates of God's word. I'm thankful for that. I must say, on the heels of that, America has been a privileged country. We're a privileged people. I think often that we become so complacent, and in a sense we become arrogant, and we sort of shut our eyes to the fact that there are many, many millions, billions, who live at such a lower standard of living than what we have, and we're privileged. Now, I suppose I could give some reasons this morning why I believe America is privileged. I suppose if I were to give a list, it may include the fact that we are currently sending out more missionaries than any other country in the world. We are printing more Bibles than any other country in the world. No matter the spiritual corruption of this country, and that is great, we are still a beacon for the world concerning the gospel message. You can hear the gospel message almost anywhere today. For instance, you're listening to the radio broadcast now, and we have no fear of proclaiming our faith in Jesus Christ on this station and other stations where we minister. We have no fear of going to our churches and perhaps being raided by the authorities. We can worship God freely as we believe the Bible teaches. That's a great privilege. That's something that we must not take for granted. And I'm saying here, I see there's an application. In the book of Amos, there's an application not only to the local church of today, but also to our country. Anytime privilege is abused, judgment is more severe. And that is the sounding message of the book of Amos, especially chapter 3. Now, let me give you just a few things here. If you're taking notes, you'll want to get the references here and go back and study this for yourself. And again, I must say this. I say this to our people every time I preach in our church. I expect you to take the references and go look up what you've heard from me or from any other preacher of the gospel. The Bible teaches us in the book of Acts that those Bereans were more honorable than the Thessalonians because the Bereans actually searched the scriptures themselves to see if what Paul was preaching to them was the truth. And that is a very wise thing to do. I mean, folks, if your eternal soul hangs or falls on whether or not this Bible is the Word of God, then it behooves you to check a man out. When he proclaims, "Thus saith the Lord," make sure he's telling you the truth. And no better way to do that than go to the Bible yourself and pray the Holy Spirit to give you understanding and to confirm or to reject what you've just heard from any man that proclaims anything from the mouth of the Lord. So take these references down. Look at them at your own time. I encourage you to do that. The first thing I want you to see here in the book of Amos chapter 3 is that God reminds his people of their privilege. I'm going to read to you again verse number 2 from Amos chapter 3. The Bible says, in Amos chapter 3 verse 2, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." Now God's saying here there's a difference. God is reminding Israel that he has never showed himself like he had shown himself to Israel. He's reminding Israel that he had never performed the great works among other nations as he had performed among them. He reminds them that he has never rained bread from heaven for any other nation as he did Israel. He reminds them that he had never, at any time in human history, caused water to gush forth from a rock as he did for Israel. He reminds them that he had never before in human history ever caused the shoes and the clothes on the backs of the Israelites to wax not old. He reminds them that his preservation of these people was distinct. It was something that was completely unknown to any other people on the face of the earth. For which other nation had God ever parted the Red Sea? There is none. For which other nation had God done great and mighty plagues for to release the people from the bondage of the Egyptians? There is no other nation. And God is reminding his people, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." And I encourage you to study the history of Israel through the Old Testament. All the way through the narrative, you can see God providentially leading, guiding, protecting, in many cases chastising his people. And you'll find him doing that among no other nation in the world. That's still the case today. God has supernaturally protected Israel. If you think back about their history, even their contemporary history, nations that would have liked to see Israel exterminated, nations today yet desire to see them exterminated, but the truth is they will not be. God has promised that Israel will be a perpetual people unto him, and that a king will come in the last days to sit upon the throne of David. And that's another lesson entirely in itself. But I want you to see here, God, before he condemns these practices of his people, before God administers judgment, he is just in the fact that he is restating to them the severity of their crime. And he begins this judgment by reminding them of their privileged position. Now, let me make an application. If you're listening to this broadcast and you're a born-again believer, may I say to you that you're a person of privilege. God has worked in no one else's behalf like he has worked in yours. Who else has God ever sent his son to die for? Who else has been given the peace of the Holy Spirit of God within? Who else has been given the promise of eternal life if it's not for the people of God, the born-again believers? We're a privileged people. The book of Psalms, chapter 68, verse number 19, the Bible makes this very clear. Psalm 68, verse 19, the Bible says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." The psalmist, as a man of God, says here, God daily loads us with benefits. He doesn't just sparingly drop a few blessings down here and there. The Bible said that he loads us with benefits, and not monthly, not yearly, not even weekly, but daily. Every day of my life, God is loading me with benefits if I can only recognize them, and if I only appreciate them. And as good as that is, as wonderful as a promise as that is, and it is a promise God has and will keep, that also puts me under a heavy obligation. But I want to remind you again here, dear folks, this morning, if you're a believer, you're a privileged person. Consider your spiritual privileges. If you're a believer, you have the forgiveness of sins. Can you put a price on that? Can anyone tell me how much it would cost to forgive just one sin? How about two sins? How about 1,000 sins? How much would it cost to forgive you and I of all of our sins, every evil thought, every evil deed? How much would it cost? I can tell you how much it would cost. It costs the precious Son of God his very blood. And so we have that privilege. We have been forgiven the absolute, unequivocal, unalterable forgiveness of sins. We've also been given the promise of eternal life. How much would men pay if they really believed they could buy eternal life? If they could buy, say, a certificate that guaranteed them they would never die, I think men would be willing to sell all they had. They'd be selling off cars and houses and lands and stock, and they would sell themselves into utter poverty if they could just have the promise of eternal life. Folks, we have it. I have eternal life even now. It did not cost me one single cent because I have accepted the payment that Christ has made for my sins on Calvary. And I have the promise of eternal life. And by the way, I have a signed document guaranteeing me eternal life. And that's the Bible, which I'm holding in my hand at this very moment. And I want to remind you, I'm going through these spiritual privileges to remind you that you, just as Israel in Amos chapter 3, are a privileged person. We have the promise of eternal life. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Can you calculate how much it is worth to have God the Spirit residing within you? The Bible does teach clearly that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine what it would be like not to have the guidance and the comforting power of the Holy Spirit of God? I have it because I'm a believer. I have trusted Christ as my Savior, and the Holy Spirit of God came to take up his residence within me. He has baptized me into the body of Christ, never to be removed again. That's a privilege. I have a family of believers I can come together with and celebrate my common faith. I have a local church I can attend. Can you imagine? Imagine the value of having spiritual brothers and sisters all across the world that binds you together by common faith and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then I have earthly privileges. Not only do I have spiritual privileges, but I have earthly privileges. I have food. I have clothing. Even now as I record this lesson, there is a winter storm outside. I'm sure that you've been acquainted with that this past week. But in the midst of all that outside, I have heat here. I have a wonderful family to enjoy. I have plenty of food. I have fine clothes to wear, warm coats to wear, all those things. Those things are the items which I did not deserve, which I do not deserve. The Bible teaches us that having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. What that's saying is if you have food and clothing, that's all you really need. And that's all that you really, by the way, should desire. But I'm thankful God gives us much more than food and raiment. I had a bed to sleep in last night. I had a roof to sleep under. I had heat to keep us warm. My family today has been given health, our two children, my wife and I. So many blessings we have from the Lord that are earthly blessings. I have a local church where I may attend. I thank God for Truth Baptist Church. I'm thankful that I can come together with other believers and be encouraged in my faith and be strengthened in my faith. That's a privilege. Do you know how many people now would love to be able to go to a church service again? Perhaps I'm speaking to someone who, by reason of health or age, whatever the case may be, you cannot attend a local church and fellowship physically with other believers. I'm sure you would like to. And I thank God for the privilege I have. I don't want to take that for granted. But I wonder if we really recognize what a privilege it is. I'm saying to you folks, and I could give a list all day long, and you could give a list of your own of the blessings God's given you, but all that is to say, and to set up this indictment, that if we have been so privileged, and we are, that puts us under a great responsibility. Let me give you this secondly. Not only was God reminding Israel of their privilege, but God was reminding them that with privilege always comes responsibility. Now, don't miss this, folks. Back in verse number 2, the Bible said, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities." That's perhaps the most important word in the verse, the word therefore. God is saying, because I have known you above all the families of the earth, because I have worked such marvelous works among you, because I have known you in an intimate way, because you have seen my power, therefore will I punish you for all your iniquities. And folks, going back to what we just said about our blessings, if we recognize how privileged we are, it must also come to our attention that we have a great responsibility. And you realize what God is doing here is he's saying, because you neglected the responsibility that came along with your privilege, judgment is now coming. Israel was so blessed by God for the purpose, and don't miss this, Israel was so blessed by God, not so Israel could be comfortable. God did not bless Israel just so they might be blessed. God blessed Israel so that they might make him known to the world. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21, the Lord says, "As surely as I live, the whole earth shall be full of the glory of the Lord." It's quite a statement. The Lord says that there's a will I'm working toward. The will I'm working toward, says the Lord, is for the whole earth to be full of my glory. Now, folks, you're either glorifying one of two people this morning. You're glorifying the Lord God, or you're glorifying yourself. You have to make the decision. And I'm saying to you now, God's purpose in blessing and guiding and leading Israel was so that Israel may take that privilege and discharge her responsibility of making God known to all the world. I want you to get this statement and mark it down well. Your privilege is directly proportionate to your responsibility. If you have great privilege, you have great responsibility. I think an example here would help us to see it. Suppose you're in the military. The newly enlisted men do not get the fanfare and the publicity like the generals may get. Nobody really values the opinions of a private in the service or a corporal. Nobody comes to them with questions about strategy. They're not the lead car in the parade after the war has been fought and won. But may I say to you that even though these newly enlisted men do not get the fanfare and the publicity, they also do not have the burden and the responsibility of planning strategy for the war. And so, see, their privilege is directly proportionate to their responsibility. Again, the generals get the fanfare. They get the interviews, they get the pictures, they get the publicity, but they also have to shoulder the responsibility of making decisions that could possibly take hundreds and thousands of lives. And so I just gave you that example to show you that the more privilege you have, the more responsibility. And that was Israel's great crime. They did not discharge their responsibility after they had been given great privilege, and God says, now your punishment will be more severe. Let me ask you a question. Do you realize that when God saved you and when God sent his son to die for you, he was not just saving you so that you might miss hell? And I thank God that I never will go to hell because of my faith in Christ, but that's not the end of it. God did not save me just so that I might say I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within. God did not save me just so that I might have comfort in times of heartache. God saved me and God saved you that we may make him known to those who are not saved. And that's as plain as it can be. The scripture teaches us that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How did you come to know Christ, by the way? Was it not because someone preached the gospel unto you? Whether it was in a sermon, perhaps a personal worker, perhaps something you read, some literature containing the gospel message, whatever the case was, somebody put effort into getting you the gospel message. Now, that is our responsibility. As a believer, we are commissioned. In fact, we call it the Great Commission. I'm afraid today it's become the Great Omission. We don't do it. Churches don't practice it. But nevertheless, because we have so much privilege, we have a great responsibility. Let me ask a question this morning. Are you discharging your responsibility? Are you, as a believer, taking your great privilege and saying, Lord, I will not neglect, I will not forget the privilege I have, I'm going to discharge my responsibility. Just as Israel was to make him known to the world, now today in this dispensation, the church is to make him known. The church is to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, as the Lord Jesus said himself. And I wonder if many of us simply do not obey the commission because we've forgotten just exactly how much we are privileged. You know, the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'm convinced we would love him more if we would meditate more upon what he's done for us. And if we meditate more and we realize our privilege, we'll love him more. And if we love him, we will obey him. But it all must begin with our position. We are in Christ. I am never called to work for Christ before I'm saved. No one is ever called to labor and to work before salvation. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says plainly, for your salvation, our salvation, is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now we stop there most of the time, but verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The good works does not come in verse 7. The good works does not come in verse 8. The good works come in verse number 10 after we have already been saved by grace through faith. Religion will tell you that work comes first and then salvation. Christianity, Bible Christianity, tells you that salvation comes first and then the works. And so now that we have been born again, now that we're in a right relationship with our God, we are supposed to labor, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And so I see here, I don't want to labor this point too long this morning, but I want you to see God is indicting Israel in Amos chapter 3 because of their lack of attention given to discharging their responsibility. In fact, instead of making God known among the inhabitants of the land, they were actually participating in idolatry. It would have been bad enough if Israel simply remained silent about their God, but in fact, they injured their God all the more by serving false gods and bowing down to idols. And I wonder if maybe somebody listening this morning, you're not just guilty of keeping quiet about the true God, you're giving yourself to things which are not God's at all. And you're giving your things and your attention and your time to things that do not profit. Perhaps you should be in the house of God this morning with fellow believers. I'm thankful that you listen. But I believe that nothing can replace the local church. I believe the local church is God's plan for evangelizing the world. And even as I speak to you here, I'm at our church. I'm preaching the gospel, even as you hear this morning. And I'm saying to you that if we fail to discharge our responsibility, our judgment will be more severe. And I say that as I close here. In Matthew 23, I want to read just a passage to you, and it deals with this subject of abused privilege. Matthew chapter number 23, if you have a Bible, you like to read this, or at least take the reference down. Matthew chapter number 23, verse number 13. The Bible clearly says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation." Now, don't let that slip by. The Lord here is talking to a group of men who were the religious professionals of their day. They were the professional clergy, so to speak. And Christ says to these men, "You shall receive the greater damnation." It's a strong language. Damnation simply means condemnation, judgment. I'll ask you a question. Why would these men receive their greater condemnation? What did they do that would set them apart for this more severe judgment? What they had done is they had more privilege. They had more knowledge. They had been given the law. They were men who constantly pored over the law of Moses and the Old Testament and the prophets. And they had given themselves daily to teaching and studying the law of God, yet they did not practice it. They did not obey it. It had all been formality. It had all been for a show. And the Lord says that here by the fact that they make long prayers for pretenses. But the Lord said they actually shut up the way to heaven. And folks, I want to just remind you this morning as we come to a close, if you and I, as children of God, are not discharging our responsibility, the more knowledge we have of Christ will actually work to our greater condemnation. I leave you with this thought. It's a sobering one. But you will now be responsible for this Bible lesson that you have just heard. You will be responsible for the truth you have heard in this lesson. And you will now have to make the decision, will you obey it? Will you apply what God's Word has said to us today from Amos chapter 3? Or will you simply choose to walk away? You can just walk away and forget what you've heard in the last half hour, but you will be held accountable for that. The Lord Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Not be careful what you hear, but how you hear. Be careful that you don't hear with the intention of simply hearing. Be sure that we must hear with the intention of obeying. I thank you for being here with us today. Let's close now in a word of prayer. Now, Lord, I thank you for the dear folks listening. I pray that your word has been a help to them today. I pray now that you would bless those listening with health and strength this day. May we serve you. May we recognize how privileged we indeed are. And may we seek to give everything we have to your service. Lord, I pray now you would bless the local churches today that are preaching the truth. May you give them an endowment of power from the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would keep us walking in unity until the day you come for us, Lord. May it even be today. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.